This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Can't bear to say goodbye.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Bear Stearns has been a Wall Street player for 85 years, but the end is near, as in just about an hour away. The investment bank will likely become part of JPMorgan Chase this morning after a vote by Bear Stearns shareholders. Bear was brought to the verge of bankruptcy amid heavy mortgage-related losses. Shareholders are being asked to approve JP's purchase of the firm for $10 a share. A year ago, Bear Stearns stock was worth almost $154 a share. Christian Dior's stock slipped a bit today. The high-end company is making some high-profile apologies to China. You may have heard Dior model Sharon Stone made some comments about the recent earthquake in China at a red carpet event.
And then I've been just, you know, concerned about, oh, how should we deal with the Olympics because they're not being nice to the Dalai Lama, who's a good friend of mine. And then all this earthquake and all this stuff happened, and I thought, is that karma?
Stone implied the Chinese were being punished over Tibet. Stephen Beard has more.
The remark provoked outrage in China, and Christian Dior is bearing the brunt. The company uses the Hollywood actress as the face of its Capture Total skincare line. Its Chinese headquarters has been inundated with complaints. The company's now dropped Stone from its Chinese ads and has apologized profusely, and so has she. Jeff Dyer of the Financial Times in Beijing says Dior is clearly worried.
Like a lot of luxury groups, Christian Dior have invested very heavily in China. They now have over 60 stores here. So it is very important for them not to alienate lots of Chinese customers.
The Chinese are touchy. Pro-Tibetan demonstrations during the Olympic torch relay in Paris led to a call for a boycott against all French goods. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The U.S. economy grew at 0.9% in the first quarter. The government says this morning that's better than first thought, as there was lower demand for foreign goods and services. Jobless numbers, though, were up more than expected last week. The Dow picked up 45 points yesterday to 12,594. The Nasdaq added more than 5 points to 2486. The S&P 500 was up 5 to 1390. Markets in Asia saw gains today, and European shares continue to move higher. Oil fell below $130 a barrel. Soaring gas and food prices knocked off earnings for Sears. The retailer reported a $56 million first quarter loss today. The high food and gas prices are working in Costco's favor. The company says its quarterly profit jumped 32%. Tata Motors, the Indian company that's buying out Jaguar and Land Rover from Ford, announced its yearly results this week. It also gave a little more detail on how it would complete the takeover of the two iconic brands. Mehul Srivastava reports from New Delhi.
Tata Motors had a good year as far as earnings are concerned, banking nearly $478 million and holding on to its position as India's third largest car manufacturer. But now comes the hard part. Tata needs to pay off the $2.3 billion bill for Jaguar and Land Rover, and its stock price and bond rating are taking a hit as it raises that money. The company said this week that it'll liquidate up to 30% of its equity to raise most of that cash. Until that money's in the bank, Tata Motors will be paying interest to 15 different lenders that provided billions of dollars in temporary loans to help close the deal. The announcement dragged Tata's shares down by as much as 7%. Tata Motors didn't reveal much else about how Jaguar and Land Rover were doing. The companies are not yet fully consolidated. Tata did tell the unions at both companies that for now, it would continue to manufacture cars in the UK, guaranteeing a little short-term job security for the ex-Ford employees. In New Delhi, this is Mehul Srivastava for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. morethriveq.com, and by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at medtronic.com.
Book Expo America kicks off today in Los Angeles. It's the largest book trade show in the nation. Book retailers have seen better days, particularly independent stores, but a few have bucked the trend. Commentator and independent bookseller Carrie Slattery tells us her story from the office loft above her store.
Our little urban neighborhood in Los Angeles is abuzz these days. Passersby are actively curious about the renovation going on at the small storefront next to my bookstore. When I put up a little sign saying it's going to be an expansion, they're incredulous and thrilled. Not another restaurant, not a big chain ice cream parlor, but our very own neighborhood bookshop is doing well enough to grow, even while many independent stores are struggling as consumers flee to big box stores and Amazon. I keep thinking our situation must be unique, that the reason we're surviving after 11 and a half years as an independent bookstore must be due to our offbeat neighborhood, or that we have a sympathetic landlord, or I've just been particularly conservative with how we've handled our expenses. Maybe it's that we're responsive to our neighborhood's needs. After all, we host readings by the local middle school writers club every year and draw top literary names. Our store cat, Lucy, who passed away recently, had a cult following. Customers even donated funds for her vet bills. But independent stores have always done these little things. What's happening now is this. More than any other time in recent years, there's a growing national consumer awareness that big may not be better, both in small towns as well as in large cities. I'm seeing customers consider the environmental, personal, and community impact of buying from locally owned neighborhood businesses. They're realizing that there's value in keeping their money, as well as taxes that support services, in their own community. People are starting to look around their neighborhoods a little more, and we want to be there for them when they do. Sure, with this expansion comes new risks, but that's the beauty of writing your own story.
Carrie Slattery is co-owner of Skylight Books in L.A. Share your story at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.